It is the beautiful full moon of the month of Chaitra, which is a most auspicious time for the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many very holy observances take place on this day. It would take many hours to even begin to discuss all of the wonderful topics in glorification of this holy occasion. But as an attempt to serve the lotus feet of all of the devotees, I would like to try to describe a portion of a drop from the vast ocean of the glories of the Lord and his devotees. Today is Hanuman Jayanti, the appearance day of Sri Hanumanji. The most noted and surrendered servant of Sri Ram. In the various Puranic histories, it describes how Sri Hanumanji, in different yuga cycles, appears as a servant of Lord Sri Ram in various ways. In the Shiva Purana, it describes that when Lord Shiva, out of his intense love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, met with Lord Vishnu and was expressing his great astonishment of how the Lord appeared in the form of the most beautiful of all females, Mohini Murti, and completely bewildered all of the asuras, so much so that the nectar of immortal life, which they struggled and strained, risked their lives to achieve, they willingly gave it over to her just to please her, because they were so stricken by her beauty. Mohini Murti took that nectar and gave it to the demigods, then assumed her original form of Vishnu and returned to Vaikuntha. Shiva said, "I want to see this form, my Lord." And the Lord warned him, "Are you sure you want to see this form?" And then he assumed the form of Mohini Murti. And under the spell of transcendental divine love, Lord Shiva began to chase after her. And she was running. She even ran through an assembly of Shiva's great devotees. They were all yogis, tapasis, who had renounced everything of this world, performing very severe tapasya, taking vows of lifelong celibacy, all the while getting their strength by chanting the names of Shiva and worshiping Shiva. And right before their eyes, they saw this beautiful, beautiful young lady of whom they have never seen before. And then behind her, chasing after, is the Lord of all tapasis, Shankar. And they did not know what to say or what to do. They were thinking, "Shiva, what are you doing?" Ultimately, Lord Shiva, by the arrangement of Mohini Murti, came close and power was released from his body. And this Shakti, in the form of divine semen, was gathered by the Saptarishis and was given to, was in a transcendental way through the media of Vayu. Vayu transported that and placed it in the womb of Anjana, who was living in a place called Kishkinda Kshetra. And from that, Hanumanji was born. Therefore, it is said that Hanuman has three fathers. One is Shiva, because he was born from the seed of Shiva himself. Therefore, he is an incarnation of Shiva. He is the 11th Rudra. Also, Vayu, because he who impregnates a lady is also father. And when he did that, he also endowed the child with all of his potencies. So he is also Shiva Putra, Vayu Putra. And Anjana was married to the king of the monkeys of the name Keshari, Keshari Raj. The story of Anjana is also spoken in Puranas. There it is explained how she was an heavenly damsel who was very closely associated with Brihaspati. But she made some mistake, and she was cursed to come to earth in form of monkey. But when she prayed to that great sage to be kind upon her and beg forgiveness, he said that Lord Shiva himself will incarnate and expand to become your son. So Anjana took birth on earth in the dynasty of monkeys. She married Keshari Raj, who was the best of the monkeys. These were not ordinary monkeys. These were very divine, transcendental monkeys who had great power and tremendous intelligence. They were more civilized than any human beings on earth today. And another story of Hanumanji appeared at a different yuga was that at a particular time, Dasarath wanted children. He had no children. Rishyashringa, the great sage, performed a yajna. From that yajna, Vishnu appeared and exclaimed that he would appear as the son of Dasarath in four transcendental forms, as Ram, Bharat, Lakshman, Shatrughna. And the process in which he would appear is the Mahaprasad from that yajna should be given to Dasarath and fed to his wives, Kausalya, Kaikeyi, and Sumitra. Anyways, what happened is a big bird came when he was about to feed his wives, and this bird snatched a portion of it, of this prasad. And this bird flew, and as he was flying and flying, he came to Kishkindha Kshetra. There Anjana was on top of a mountain. She was performing tapasya to have a son. She was worshiping Shiva to have an expansion of Shiva as her son. And at that time, the prasad was dropped by the bird into her hand, and she ate, and she became pregnant, and Sri Hanumanji was born on this very day on the top of that holy mountain. A few years back, our devotees went on a yatra to that place, Kishkindha Kshetra. It is also today called Hampi, a derivation of the word Pompey, because that is a famous place where Parvati performed tapasya. And on a mountain in that beautiful, beautiful holy place, on the banks of the Tungabhadra River, Hanumanji was born. The name of the mountain is Anjana Parvat. So when Anjana gave birth to Hanuman, she again resumed her original heavenly form. And Hanuman told her that he was hungry. And she told Hanumanji that the Lord is providing so much for you. The fruits of this world, so big and choice like the sun, they are all for you to enjoy. So he took it very literally, and he was thinking that the sun was fruit. So he jumped toward the sun. Because he is Vayuputra, when he jumped, he just defied all the laws of material limitations of gravity. And he was soaring toward the sun with such speed that Surya, the sun god, became fearful, and he reported to the king of heaven, Indra. And Indra, with his thunderbolt, struck Hanuman upon the chin, and he fell to the ground unconscious. Although he was hardly an infant child, he was little baby. When Vayu saw that his son was unconscious, he was very much upset. In fact, he did not know whether his son would survive. So he took the little child, who is now known as Hanuman because of the split upon his chin, and he took him in his arms and entered into a cave of a mountain. And Vayu is in charge of all the air of the universe. So to show his dissatisfaction, he withdrew all the air of the universe. People may think, how can anyone do like this? But we should know, even in this world, very small men, just like here in Bombay, many small, insignificant human beings, if they're dissatisfied, just like the Shiv saying, if they're dissatisfied, they have bond. Then the whole city stops. Nobody's allowed to drive, the trains can't go, the buses can't go, the airports are closed, everything, all the shops stop. So that is the power of just some little people of this world with some political influence. But to speak of the great demigods like Vayu, who actually control the resources of material energy on behalf of Lord Krishna. So even the devatas, they were not able to breathe. They were suffocating. So they approached Lord Brahma. What to do? Brahma said, you have offended Vayu's son. We must all go down and beg forgiveness, and we should all give the best blessings to the son of Vayu. So led by Lord Brahma, the leading devatas came to Kishkindha Kshetra, that area, and there Brahma sprinkled some transcendental water, mystic water, and brought the child back to life. And they all began to give benedictions. Brahma gave the benediction that Hanuman could never be defeated or killed. He would defy all the laws of nature. And Indra, he gave him the benediction, because I struck him with my thunderbolt, every limb of his body will be more powerful than my thunderbolt. And Surya, who was also an accomplice in all this, he said, when he comes of age, I will teach him everything I know of the Vedas. And Agni gave him the benediction that he will never be harmed by fire. This benediction was very beneficial later on in Sri Hanumanji's Leela. And Vishwakarma gave him the benediction that he would have the most incredibly clear creative intelligence. He also received benediction of being the greatest philosopher, the greatest scholar, the greatest servant of the Lord. Anyways, being a little child and having these benedictions, he became quite naughty. And in his naughtiness, he was harassing the sages. Sometimes he would, with his claws and his teeth, he would tear up their clothes when they would be bathing, or he would spit water, all sorts of things like this. He would jump on them and pull their beards. So the sages, they went to Anjana and Keshari. What to do about your son? They said, he has all these benedictions. How can you chastise someone who knows he can get away with anything? So give him the blessing that he forgets all the benedictions he had received unless he is reminded. So at that time, Hanumanji became very, very humble, submissive servant of all the sages and everyone, the perfect gentleman of all gentlemen. The Ramayana of Sri Valmiki Muni explains how Hanumanji was always chanting the holy names of Ram. He was always meditating in the purest form of devotion on Sri Ram. After Sita was stolen at Panchavati by Ravana, she was taken. Jatayu tried to stop him, but ultimately he was killed. And as Ravana was pulling Sita over the Rishyamukha mountain in Kishkindha Kshetra, Sita saw Sugriva, Hanuman, and some of the monkeys. And from the air, she was calling out, O Ram, O Lakshman, O Ram, O Lakshman. And she took some of the jewels that Ram had given her and put them in a little cloth and threw them, hoping that those monkeys would sometimes see Ram searching for her to give her beloved Lord some direction of where she is going. So Kabanda, that very, very big, terrible demon, when he was delivered by Ram, he gave the message that you should go to the place called Pampasrovar near the Rishyamukha mountain, and there you should make allies with Sugriva, because in that place you will find the most competent devotees to help you find Sita. So Ram went to Pampasrovar. There he gave his great mercy to Shabari, that great Vaishnavi who surrendered her life, her soul, her everything to Sri Ram. And Sri Ram sent her on that very day back to Vaikuntha in her original spiritual body. She was so simple. She was an ascetic. She just gave Ram everything. With such love and devotion, she surrendered to him. There was some fruits, famous story. And these fruits, they all look the same, but sometimes they are bitter and sometimes they are sweet. So she wanted to offer Ram the sweet ones, not the bitter ones. So what to do? They looked similar. So in the simplicity of her love and devotion, she would take a bite out of each fruit. And if it was sweet, she would take it out of her mouth and give it to Ram to eat. And if it was bitter, she would cast it aside. Now for the smart Brahmins, they would not approve of this process. It is offensive. But in pure love, Pure love is beyond all the rules and regulations of the Vedic injunctions. It is the actual ultimate regulation to offer with pure love. So Sri Ramchandra especially enjoyed the taste of the love in which Shabari was biting into these fruits and offering them to him. Because she was not thinking of her own sense gratification. She was simply thinking of Ram's sense gratification. That is surrender. That is devotion. After this, Sugriva happened to see these two great, powerful warriors in the dress of ascetics, and he could not understand who they were. So his trusted minister, Hanuman, was asked to see. Hanuman disguised himself as an ascetic. And he came before Ram and Lakshman, and he inquired, "Who are you?" Ram and Lakshman said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Hanuman. You are very beautiful, but I am Hanuman. Although I am in the guise of an ascetic, actually I'm a monkey." He couldn't lie. Devotees are very straightforward and simple. And a certain ecstatic love was in his heart, but he could not understand why. And then Lakshman introduced that this is Lord Sri Ramchandra, the son of Dasarath, and I have Lakshman, and we have his younger brother, and we have been exiled to the forest, and we are now searching for Sita. And we have been told to come here to make allies with Sugriva. When Hanuman heard, he fell at their feet and surrendered. He said, "Why is it that I've worshipped you all my life, but when I first came to see you, I couldn't even recognize the Lord of my life?" And Ram and Lakshman explained that we reveal ourselves according to how you approach us, because you approached us in a disguise. You were not appearing to us as you are. So we disclosed our true identity from you. But when you revealed your true identity to us, we revealed our true identity to you. Philosophically, this is also a great lesson. We are all eternal souls. We are not these bodies. And we have nothing to do with any of the designations of these bodies, being male or female or old or young, or from one caste or another caste, or this nationality or another nationality, rich or poor. These are all external, illusory, temporary bodily designations. But because even in our devotional service, even in our religious life, we still hang on to these false designations due to attachment and conditioning, the Lord does not truly reveal himself to us. But when we truly identify with our true identity, that we are the eternal servants of the Lord, simply meant for the service of the Lord, at that time, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, Krishna will reveal himself to us as he is. Ye yathamam prapadyante tamastathaiva bhajama. Hanuman said, "I will take you to Sugriva just now. Jump on my back." And Hanumanji took Ram and Lakshman both and placed them on his shoulders. And as their Vaman, their carrier, he took them to where Sugriva was. And the discussion took place, and Sugriva agreed with all of his forces to help Ram find Sita. providing Ram helped him to conquer Bali, which Lord Sri Ramchandra did in a wonderful way. After conquering Bali, the brother of Sugriva was coronated as the king of Kishkinda. At that time, the Chaturmasya, the rainy season, began. So Lord Sri Ramchandra said that we should search for Sita after the rainy season ends. So he went into a cave. That cave is still there. We have all visited it. It is on a mountain called Prashavana, and the name of the cave is Malyavanta. And there for 4 months, Lord Sri Ramchandra sat performing tapasya, constant meditation on his beloved Sita. In fact, there is a beautiful murti today in that cave, where in one hand Lord Ram is holding japa mala, and in the other he is holding his heart. And it is said that he was chanting the names of Sita and meditating on her within his heart. Because Sita is the pleasure potency. Krishna expanded himself in the incarnation of Sri Ram, and Sri Radharani expanded herself as Sita. And the eternal transcendental love between them is the source, the foundation, the essence of all love. In fact, all the love in all of creation, in all of existence, spiritual and material, is simply the energy in various forms of the love between Radha and Krishna, or Sita and Ram. And the pure bhakti within the heart of all of us, which is our nature, is the part and parcel speck of the love of Radha for Krishna. Therefore, it is the eternal nature of all living entities to simply dedicate their lives in full surrender to assisting in the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. To give our lives and souls to simply be the servant of the servant of the servant of those who are helping to bring that pleasurable exchange between Radha and Krishna, or Sita and Ram. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the world entrance into this most sublime, transcendental realm of love through the congregational chanting of the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna!
After the Chaturmasya had come to an end, Hanuman reminded Sugriva that we have made a vow to Sri Ram to help. So they began to dispatch all various of the great monkey soldiers to search for Sita. And they were all given different directions to search the entire earth where Ravana was residing. But Lord Ramchandra understood that ultimately one is empowered according to his devotion. And Sri Hanumanji was the supreme most devotee. Therefore, he gave Hanumanji his own ring with the name Ram written on it. And he said, "I believe you will be the one to find Sita. Give her this ring. It will give her life and hope." And then he gave a beautiful message to be relayed to Sita. So they began to search and search. And they were looking and looking and looking. And all of the different monkeys in all the different directions, they could not find even a trace Angada, Hanuman, Jambavan, they were searching in the southern direction. At one point, they were so frustrated that Angada said, if we cannot find Sita, that we might as well fast till death. What is the use of our lives if we cannot fulfill this service? So they all began to fast. And as they were very, very weak, there was a big vulture. His name was Sampati, who saw them all laying there in a weakened state. And he said, oh, this is very good. He said, I am very old and I have no wings, but they have come right before me, so now I will eat them. And Angada and others were thinking, now what to do? We are about to be eaten. So they began to chant the glories of Lord Ram, because after all, before death, we should remember the pastimes and the names of the Lord. And he began to narrate how Lord Ram, how they were about to be killed, trying to find Sita, just as the great bird Jatayu was also killed in pursuit of helping Ram come back to Sita. And when Sampati heard that, he said, Jatayu, he is my brother. Tell me about this Jatayu. And when he heard that Angada and Hanuman and the others were devotees of Ram, he became very happy. He explained, when I was very young, myself and Jatayu, we went very high in the sky, flying. And at that time, the sun began to beat very, very hot. So with my wings, I covered my brother Jatayu to protect him. And my wings were burnt. And I have been laying here ever since. I have not moved in ages. But I was told at that time that someday the servants of Sri Ram will come. And when you help them in their devotional service, your wings will grow back. And just at that time, his wings grew back. And he said that Ravana is living across the ocean, 100 yojanas, 800 miles, in the kingdom of Sri Lanka. And that is where he has taken Sita. You can reach there by going to Setu Banda. So with these words, Hanumanji, Jambavan, Angada, Nila, Nala, and the others, they went to the shore of the ocean. And it was such a long distance. They were thinking, who could possibly jump so far? And each monkey was telling how far he could jump. But none of them could reach. At that time, Jambavan said, when I was young, I could leap across the whole, around the universe. But now I'm old. But Hanuman, you are not saying anything. There is nothing that you cannot do. And Hanuman, when he was reminded, he remembered, yes, I can leap anywhere with all power. Just see what I do. And then he began to expand himself into a large size. And he climbed atop a mountain, and then he jumped. And as he jumped, the pressure from his lotus foot upon the mountain was so great that gold and silver and everything else just started flowing out of the mountain. And then he began his great journey. As he was flying to Sri Lanka, the Lord of the Ocean was thinking that I should serve this Vaishnava. Just like sometimes when we go on yatras, we're on a train going from one place to another. Krishna Chandra's agents, they meet us at some railway station and bring prasad and drinks and everything. Because to serve Vaishnavas when they're traveling is a very wonderful thing. to serve Vaishnavas and assist them in their mission is the greatest service. So the ocean requested a great golden mountain named Mahendra, which is living under the sea, to give Hanumanji resting place. So this great golden mountain came out from the sea and made herself very, very comfortable. And she appeared and told Hanumanji that please come here and rest for some time. But Hanumanji, he was being tested that one should never be lazy. One should never be looking for one's own material comforts in the service of the Lord. Vyabhashayatma kabudhir eke ho kurunandana bahushaka hyanantashta budhayo vyabhashayanam. In our devotional service, we should be resolute in purpose. Our aim should be one. We should not be concerned with our own comforts, our own needs, our own satisfactions. We should be concerned only with fulfilling the mission of that master who has sent us. The mission of Guru and the mission of Krishna. So Hanumanji did not want to waste even a half of a second. But to honor, in a courteous way, Mount Mahendra, he placed his hand on the mountain and said, I am accepting your offering, but I have no time to stop. So he continued to fly. And as he was traveling through the airways, the mother of the Nagas appeared before her. Her name was Suras. And she challenged Hanuman. She said, Hanuman, I have been given a benediction by Brahma that no one can get by me without being eaten by me. So today I will devour you. And she opened her mouth to 4 miles long, wide. And Hanuman made his body 8 miles. And then she made her mouth 10 miles, and he became 20, and she became 30, and he became 40, and she became 50, and he became 60, until her mouth was open to 100 miles, something like that. And Hanuman was very intelligent. The intelligence of a devotee can defeat all material powers. So what he did is he became very tiny, like an insect. And he walked into her mouth, which was 100 miles. And he walked around for some time in her mouth. And then he came out. And he said, now the benediction of Brahma has been honored. You have eaten me. So now give me your blessings to go on with my journey. And she became very happy. And she said, yes, I give you all blessings to go and recover Sita and bring her back to Ram. So as he was traveling, a very terrible Rakshasi appeared. Her name was Simika. This Simika, she had mystic power. And what she did is as Hanuman was jumping across, his shadow, due to the sun, he was between the sun and the ocean, she grabbed hold of his shadow. And he couldn't move. He was in the sky. And he couldn't go anywhere. And he was looking around, why, I can't move. And then he saw this terrible Rakshasi holding on to his shadow. She was the embodiment of envy. You see, everyone has their good qualities, and people also sometimes have dark qualities. evil people, they like to grab onto people's dark qualities due to envy. So she grabbed into his shadow. And then she opened her mouth very, very large to devour Hanumanji. And again, he took a little tiny form and he crawled into her mouth and crawled down her throat and crawled into her chest and went right to where her heart was. And then he took his nails and he ripped open her heart. And then he came out of up the throat, out through the mouth again, and then he saw her falling behind into the ocean, screaming in pain. And then he continued his journey. The 800 miles, 100 yojanas he covered, and then he saw the beautiful, beautiful city of Sri Lanka. And when he came to that city, he took a very small form, about the size of a cat. And when he came to the gate, the main entrance, there was a Rakshashi lady of the name Lankini, who was actually the personification of Sri Lanka. And when she saw him, she said that no one can enter into Sri Lanka without my blessings. And you are an intruder. I am the servant of Ravana. Tell me who you are. Ravana said, who are you? Hanuman said, who are you? She explained. And then she slapped Hanuman very hard. And Hanuman, he's a brahmachari, doesn't like to get slapped by ladies, especially rakshashis. So he punched her. And she fell to the ground. And she fell to the ground with such force. And she said to Hanumanji, ah, this is very good. I have been told by Lord Brahma long ago that when a monkey comes and defeats you, that will mean that very soon Ravana and all the Rakshasas will be destroyed and the city of Lanka will be ruined. She said, you have come to get Sita. She said, I now give you my blessings that you will be a success. Your mission to Ram will be fulfilled. It is said that the association of devotees can make even rogues and thieves into great devotees. Hanuman's association, because of his love for Ram, even this terrible Rakshashi became saintly, offering him benedictions and prayers and praising Ram. Then he entered into Sri Lanka. And as he was traveling, he was looking everywhere for Sita. He was looking in the buildings, in the palaces. The moon was lighting his way. It was such a magnificent city. Practically everything was constructed out of pure gold. And where there wasn't gold, there was ivory and diamonds and emeralds and rubies. And the floors and the walls and the ceilings on everyone's bodies. Such opulence. But everyone was frustrated. There was no peace. Ravana, with all this, was still the most miserable man. Hanuman even saw Ravana in a drunken state, sleeping on a beautiful bedstead with his favorite queen, Mandodari. But he was fixed on finding Sita. And ultimately, in the Ashoka Grove, the favorite garden of Ravana, there was Sita, emaciated. She was fasting for practically 10 months. And she was simply crying the names of Ram constantly. the sun began to rise, and Ravana came, and Hanuman was watching from a tree as Ravana, along with his queens and ministers, came to Sita and began first in a very nice, loving way, saying, Sita, accept me as your master, and you will enjoy all the opulences of Sri Lanka. Why you are so attached to this Ram? He is a mere ascetic. What can he give you? What luxuries, what pleasures of life can he give you living in the jungles? I will give you all of the riches of Lanka. All of my queens will become your main servants. But Sita told him that I care nothing for your wealth, nothing for your riches, nothing for anything except Sri Ram. And this is the way a devotee thinks. King Prataparudra, he was willing to give up his palace, give up everything, if that's what it was required to achieve the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Similarly, we should know all the wealth, opulence, and pleasures of this world can give no satisfaction to the soul. And we should not betray our Lord for anything or anyone. We should never deviate from our pure and faithful service to Sri Krishna or Sri Ram. Ravana, when he heard this, and Sita was saying, you are a coward. Why you took me away from my Ram when he was not there? Why didn't you fight him face to face? You took me like a jackal, like a coward. And the day will come when he will come and destroy you. Mandodari said, no, you should not hit a woman. Ravana said, I will give you 2 more months. Either you surrender to be my bride, or I will cut your body to pieces, I will cook it, and I will eat your flesh and drink your blood. And Sita, in separation from Sri Ram, she took the cord which was she took her the braids of her hair and tied it around her neck. What is the use of my life if I cannot see my Ram and serve my Ram? At that time, Hanumanji very gracefully, and he jumped before Sita, and he began chanting the names of Ram, and he began to chant the glories of Ram. At first he could not be seen, but only heard. He was telling the story of Ram's birth and Ram's breaking the bow in Mithila and the marriage of Sita Ram and how they were living in Ayodhya and how they were banished by Kaikeyi to the forest and how they lived so nicely in Chitrakoot and how they came to Panchavati and Ravana had stole and how Ram, in the anguish of separation, was looking all over the world for her, and how he made allies with Sugriva, and Hanuman, his minister, had come. When Sita heard this, she was pacified. And Hanuman gave Sita the ring. And when she received that ring, it was as if she was seeing Ram directly. Because the Supreme Lord is absolute, and he is non-different than his paraphernalia, which he empowers with his own divine energy. Upon touching and seeing that ring, tears of love began to flow from her eyes, and she began to speak to the ring as if she was speaking to Ram herself. Similarly, the Supreme Lord has appeared within his name. And we can have direct reciprocation with the Supreme Lord by simply having faith that all that is required is to sincerely, with devotion, chant the Maha Mantra. Hanuman and Sita had a beautiful conversation. Everything was explained so nicely. Hanuman told Sita that I will take you to Ram at this very moment. Just jump on my back. Within seconds, you will be seeing Ram. But Sita replied that Ram is my Lord and Master, and I have made a vow I can never touch another man. Ravana touched me by force, but I cannot touch another man. And besides that, ultimately my life is for Ram's pleasure. And Ram's greatest pleasure is if he will come to Sri Lanka and he will personally destroy this Ravana and take me back on his own. And then she gave Hanuman the jewel from her head and said, when you see Ram, please give this to him. In this way, the most faithful messenger and carrier, Sri Hanumanji, rendered the greatest service to Sita Devi. After pacifying her and giving her great hope, he decided to do some extra seva. So this most beautiful favored garden of Ravana, he began to tear it apart. He was uprooting the trees and destroying the beautiful roads and beautiful marble temple. He just annihilated it. And he was making tremendous amount of noise. And the Rakshasis, they went to Ravana, and he became angered. And he sent tens and thousands of soldiers. And they all came. And Hanumanji was simply waving his tail at them. And he picked up a piece of steel pole and just completely annihilated all of them. Their limbs were broken, their heads were smashed. And whatever few were able to survive, they ran back to Ravana. And then Ravana started sending more soldiers. Then he sent his own son, one of his younger sons, Aksha, I believe his name was. And he came, and he was a very, very great mystic. He was going in the sky and shooting all kinds of arrows. And Ravana was fighting against him, and they were both in the sky, flying around fighting. And then Hanuman took his fist and smashed him, and he fell to the ground. Smashed his head, and he fell to the ground dead. Then Ravana was very angry that Hanuman killed his own son. So he sent his eldest son, Indrajit. Indrajit had an arrow by Brahma that could tie anybody up. After fighting with Hanuman and seeing he could not possibly defeat him, he sent this arrow. And Hanuman willingly honored this benediction of Brahma and was tied up. He was thinking, this is a good chance for me to meet Ravana. So then they took him before Ravana. And Ravana said, who are you? Are you coming from Kuvera, from Yamaraj? Hanuman said, nothing like that. I am the servant of Ram and Lakshman, the supreme personality of Godhead. You have stolen Sita. Give her back and enjoy your kingdom of Sri Lanka. If you want to try to keep her, then Ram will soon come here and destroy you, destroy your family, and destroy your entire kingdom. When Ravana heard this, he became outraged. How can anyone humiliate me by putting me second to anything or anyone? He ordered Hanuman to be killed. But Bibhishan, the brother of Ravana, he had already developed love for Ram, and he had already developed a great love for Hanumanji. He very expertly told Ravana that it is not according to the Kshatriya codes to kill a messenger. You just punish him, beat him up, but don't kill him. So Ravana said, yes. What is the favorite part of a monkey's body? He is very proud of his tail. Burn his tail. So they wrapped his tail with cloth, and they dipped it in oil, and they lit it on fire. Meanwhile, the news came to Sita Devi that Hanuman's tail was on fire. So she prayed to Agni, the fire god, please make it that Hanuman does not feel any heat from the fire on his tail. And honoring Sita's prayer, Agni Dev appeared, and the fire on his tail had a very, very soothing, refreshing sensation to Hanumanji. And then they tied him up, and they were to drag him through the streets to humiliate him. But then Hanuman just broke the ropes, and he took his tail and started beating all the Rakshasa soldiers to death until they were all, just everyone around him was dead. And then he started jumping from one part of Lanka to another. And whatever part he touched, his tail made it on fire. So all the major palaces and all the major assembly houses and homes, everything, the whole city of Lanka was on blazing fire. And Hanumanji was just jumping from building to building to building to building. And the fire was getting bigger and bigger, all consuming. In this way, we should know that if a devotee is sincere in his devotional service, even the impediments that materialistic people may try to put on our path, those impediments will ultimately assist us in our devotional service. That is the power of God's mercy upon his devotee. Nothing can impede the service of the Lord. Or as it is said by Srila Rupa Goswami, a devotee learns how to utilize everything in Krishna's service, even the difficulties that are put upon us. So, after Hanuman set the entire city of Lanka on fire, and all the Rakshasas were running here and there and screaming completely in confusion, he went to the top of the mountain and began to laugh. And then he called out for all the people of Lanka to hear that wait till Ram comes. He said, I am only his insignificant menial servant, and this is what I have done. Soon my master will come, and you see what will happen. And then he roared like a lion and jumped across the ocean. When he received the, reached the shore of Rameshwaram, as it is called now, all of the monkeys, Angada and everybody, they were all anxiously waiting for him. And he let out a great roar, and they were very happy to see Hanumanji. And when he told them the story of what had happened, they all began to wag their tails and scream and jump up and down to celebrate. Shri Hanumanji ki! Yeah. And then he very, very quickly jumped to Kishkindha Kshetra. And there he met Sri Ram, and he delivered the jewel from the head of Sita to Ram. And when he delivered the message of Sita's welfare, Lord Ramchandra, in supreme love for his devotee, embraced Sri Hanumanji with his own arms. And this embrace between Sri Ram and Hanuman is one of the most precious visions within the hearts of the Vaishnavas. How the Lord loves more than his own life those devotees who surrender everything for his loving service. Then they made wonderful plans, and with the help of Hanumanji, they built that great bridge across the Indian Ocean. The bridge was 100 miles wide and 800 miles long. It was just, they took huge mountain peaks and giant rocks and tied them together with vines and trees and made this bridge, and all of the rocks were floating on the water by the great power of Sri Ram. In fact, it is said that the name of Ram was on each rock. And within this ocean of material existence, we can only stay afloat if we always keep the name of Ram within our hearts. And then they traversed across upon this bridge, and they reached Sri Lanka. And there was the great battle between Ravana and his Rakshasas, and Ram and Lakshman with the monkey soldiers. Srila Prabhupada explained that Sita is the goddess of devotion, the goddess of fortune. And she was stolen by the demoniac energy in the form of Ravana. And although the Rakshasas had the most sophisticated weapons and they were trained fighters, the monkeys didn't have a single weapon except their claws and their teeth and whatever they could pick up and throw. So Prabhupada said, similarly, I also crossed the ocean to try to bring Sita back to Ram, to try to bring the resources of the Lord back in the service of the Lord. That is my mission. And similarly, the Lord has given me all of you monkeys to assist me. So we are very happy to be Srila Prabhupada's monkeys. And during kirtan, we should also dance very nicely. So, during the battle, such a wonderful story that Valmiki Dev explains in Sri Ramayana. It explains how at one time Lakshman was fighting against Ravana. And Ravana took a javelin which was given to him by Brahma and cast it into the chest of Lakshman. He fell to the ground unconscious. At that time, Sri Ramchandra ran to Lakshman's side, and Ravana began to shower him with arrows and insults. Ram fought against Ravana and drove him away. Then he came back to Lakshman and took the javelin out of his chest and was embracing his brother with great love. What to do? At that time, Jambavan, he said, the only person who can save Lakshman is Hanumanji. There is a herb on a mountain in the Himalayas called Mritya Sanjivani. And if you bring that from the Himalayas close to Mount Kailash, then Lakshman will be, his health will be restored. So on the order of Sri Ram, Hanumanji, not considering what is possible or what is impossible, only considering that my life is meant for the service of Sri Ram, he jumped. And in one jump, he went all the way from Sri Lanka to the southern coast of India, and then all the way across to the northernest part of India, to the peaks of the Himalayas. And there he saw the mountain. But he couldn't identify the herb. The mountain was hiding the herbs. So Hanumanji, knowing that time was of the essence, he uprooted the entire mountain. And with one hand, he held it above his head, and he took another jump. And Hanumanji, the carrier of the great Gandamandana mountain, returned to Rameshwaram, or to Sri Lanka. And there, one of the monkey medicos went into the mountain and took the herb and brought it for Lakshman to smell, and he became very all right once again. And ultimately, during this great battle, Sri Ramchandra faced Ravana himself. Kumbhakarna was killed. Indrajit was killed by Lakshman. All the greatest of the warriors were killed. His whole army was destroyed. And everyone was advising Ravana from the beginning to the end, give Sita back to Ram. But because of attachment to his senses and his ego, he could not listen to good advice. And with Ravana's sharpened arrow, he pierced the heart of Ravana, who vomited blood through his 10 mouths and fell to the ground dead. And then Sita was brought back to the hand of Ram. And with Hanuman and an envoy of devotees, they returned to Ayodhya. He returned on the very day when his exile was finished. Diwali, he was coming back to Ayodhya, and he was coronated as the king of the world. Sri Hanumanji, there are wonderful many stories. Of course, it is very significant that during the Battle of Kurukshetra, the chariot that Krishna was driving, he personally arranged for Hanuman to be on his flag, because he knew wherever there is Hanuman, there is sure to be victory. And the Lord loves to glorify his devotee. In his previous incarnation as Ram, Hanuman sacrificed so much in the surrender of the Lord that even in the Krishna, in the original form of Sri Krishna, as he expanded himself onto the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it is explained that he wanted to glorify his devotee. So he put his devotee over his own head, Hanumanji as the flag on his standard. And it is said at a certain point in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Hanuman was not allowed to fight. He was only meant to be on the flag. But when things were very difficult and the Kurus were overcoming Hanuman from the flag, he roared. And the Kurus just lost all of their powers. So Hanumanji is the eternal servant of the Lord. In fact, before Sri Ramchandra left this world, after Sita entered into the earth at Valmiki Muni's ashram, Ramchandra also decided to depart and put a close to his earthly pastimes. Hanumanji was praying that he do not leave, and Sri Ram gave him the benediction that you will always remain in this world. Wherever anyone is chanting my name, you should be there to protect him. And there are so many stories, even to this day, of how anyone who sincerely chants the name of Sri Ram receives the divine protection of Hanumanji. So we are very much grateful to the good fortune to be together today to say a few words, to hear a few words of the unlimited glories of this great bhakta, Sri Hanumanji. Hanumanji ki. So this covers 1/4 of our lecture. It is also the day of Lord Balaramji's Raslila. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains the narration of Srila Shukadeva Goswami. He describes to Maharaj Parikshit how Krishna and Balaram left Vrindavan when they were hardly 12 and a half years old. And they went to Mathura to kill Kamsa. But there were so many demons attacking that they decided to make a beautiful fort in the ocean, which is called Dwarka. And there for many, many years, Krishna resided with his 16,108 queens. Meanwhile, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the residents of Vrindavan, headed by gopis, they were simply crying incessantly day and night in separation from Lord Sri Krishna. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya explained, they exhibited the deepest, purest, and highest form of spiritual ecstasy. Throughout the day, they were simply engrossed. The only thing that could keep them living was the thought of Krishna. They were making garlands for him with the thought that he will come today. He promised he will return. Today he will come. We must have nice prasad for him, bhoga. We must have nice garlands, nice beautiful arrangements for him to meet with Sri Radharani and his friends. And in this day they were busy always making beautiful arrangements with the hope that Krishna would return that day. But day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, Krishna did not come. He was residing within their hearts and reciprocating with their love there in separation. So Balaramji was thinking that I should go to Vrindavan to pacify the residents of Braja. And Krishna was also thinking of going. But the inhabitants of Dwarka, they said, no, no, you are not permitted to go. Because they all knew that the love of the Brijabasis was so much infinitely greater than their own. If Krishna went to Braj, he would never come back to Dwarka again. Once coming under the control of the gopas and the gopis, he could never leave Vrindavan again. And also, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna explains another reason why he didn't go back at that time is because the love of the gopas and the gopis in Viparalamba, in separation, was so deep and so great and so sublime that it couldn't, it was at its highest point. And he was reciprocating with that. So there was really no need to go back, because he couldn't make the love any greater by going back. It was already at its pinnacle. So with Krishna's blessing, he sent Balaram to Vrindavan. Sri Balaramji mounted his chariot. And he was also feeling great separation from the devotees of Vrindavan. And when he arrived, all of the devotees came to greet him. He met with Nanda and Yashoda, who placed him on their laps and began to weep and cry, literally bathing his body with their tears and kissing him and embracing him, speaking so many sweet words. And the other elder gopas and gopis, Balaram respectfully bowed to them, took dust from their feet, respected them. And all the residents of Vrindavan began to inquire, how is all of our relatives? How is Devaki and Vasudev? How is Maharaj Ugrasena? We are very happy to hear that Krishna killed Kamsa. How is everything going there? Does Krishna ever remember us? Will he ever return? In this way, there was beautiful, sweet, loving exchanges. And then the gopis, who were continuously immersed in the ecstasies of loving separation, they secretly met Balaramji. And they began to inquire, does Krishna ever remember his mother or father? They have given everything for him. Does he ever remember them? Does he ever plan to come back to see them? Does he not care if they die in separation? And what about his friends? They cannot play anymore. They are simply waiting. Will he ever come back to give them satisfaction? And as far as ourselves, we gave up everything for him. We left our homes, we left our families, we left the safety of our community. We gave up our prestige and even our mundane morality. We gave up everything for his sake only. And he promised us. That he could never repay us. But now he has left. And now all these ladies in Dwarka, now they are captivated by his glances and his smiles and his sweet words. But will he do the same thing to them that he has done to us? Krishna has forgot about us, but we cannot forget about him. We cannot stop talking about him. We want to, but we cannot. This was the nature of Gopi's love. We should understand that this love is completely transcendental. It is not like the selfish love of this world where we are interested in our own gross and subtle enjoyment. The Gopi's love was exclusively for the satisfaction of the Lord. They were the ultimate renunciates. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the greatest sannyasi, Shukadeva Goswami, the greatest renunciate of all material pleasures, they all praise the gopis' love as the most perfect, pure, transcendental state of spiritual realization. So Balaramji, with his own gopis, began to have Raslila. But first Balaram delivered Krishna's message and spoke so many words to give joy and hope to the hearts of all of the gopis. And then, in a beautiful garden on the bank of River Jamuna, in a place called Sri Ram Ghat, it is still there today in Braj Bhumi. If you go, it is long distance from Vrindavan village, but there is a place called Ram Ghat, and there Balaram began to perform the pure and sacred loving exchange called the Ras Lila with his gopis. And one wonderful thing took place at that time, which Jayadev Goswami glorifies in his Dasavatar Stotram. Varuna sent his daughter, Varuni, in the form of a very ambrosial, nectarine beverage that was flowing from the trees. And this beverage was very transcendentally intoxicating. Not like the liquor of this world. It is transcendental bhava in liquid form that they were drinking. And Balaramji and Gopis were drinking this Varuni beverage, and it was making their excitement even more enhanced. And Balaram called for the river Jamuna. You come here, we want to take bath in you. So Jamuna Devi was thinking, what is this request that I come here? So she ignored him, thinking he's drinking too much Varuni. And Balaram became very angry, transcendental anger. And he stood up and he said, Jamuna Mai, Jamuna Devi, you have disobeyed my order. Therefore, I will drag you here with my own plow, and I will cut you into hundreds of pieces. And he took his plow and began to drag the river Jamuna and slice her into parts, different streams. And when Jamuna saw the seriousness of Balaram's mood, she came in her personified form. And with folded hands, she began to offer prayers that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I was not understanding how serious you were about this. And therefore, I have come to surrender my life to you. And you always protect and give pleasure to those devotees who to surrender to you. So I am coming to offer myself in your loving service. So Balaramji was very happy, and he gave his blessings to Jamuna. And then he and gopis began to play in Jamuna. And when he came out of Jamuna, the goddess Lakshmi appeared and presented to him a beautiful, beautiful garland and fresh blue clothing. And in this way, during the month of Chaitra, starting on this night of the full moon, for every night for 2 months, Balaramji enjoyed his dance at Ramghat with gopis. And tonight we are celebrating this wonderful, wonderful occasion. It is also the night of Krishna Vasant Ras. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan have written many beautiful, beautiful verses glorifying the Vasant Ras of Sri Radha and Krishna. Jayadev Goswami's book, Gita Govinda, which is very, very high PhD subject matter, also describes this Vasant Ras of Sri Krishna. It takes place in the various groves and kunjas around Govardhan Hill. Krishna performs during the Sarat season his beautiful lila of Ras near Seva Kunj, Bamsivat in Vrindavan. And in the springtime, this beautiful lila is enacted at Govardhan Hill. Rasa Stali is a beautiful place where they would meet. Chandra Srovar, Chandradev, filled this lake with the nectar of the moon to refresh Krishna and his gopi associates. In this way, there are so many wonderful, beautiful, beautiful stories. This is a very high subject, but we can understand in principle that the beautiful lila of the Lord at Govardhan is the manifestation of the eternal pastimes of the spiritual world. And that same Radha and Krishna who perform these wonderful, wonderful pastimes appears in this age of Kali Yuga as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us the sober, dignified and proper process, the honest process by which we can purify our hearts and actually enter into the Leela of Vrindavan, of the eternal spiritual world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that by living very purely, by preaching and discussing the glories of the Lord, and by coming together to chant His holy names, gradually through the name of God, in this age of Kali Yuga, through the name which is empowered with all the powers, potencies, all the leelas of the Lord are within His name, by offenselessly and then purely, with love, chanting Krishna's name, gradually, all these transcendental sentiments, the eternal sentiments of our eternal soul, of pure bhakti, are awakened from within the heart. At the beginning stages of chanting the holy names of the Lord, we are very much contaminated and clouded by lust and anger and pride and greed and envy and illusion, so much false ego, so many attachments, that we hardly have any taste for the holy name. In fact, the holy name, which is sweeter than nectar, Rupa Goswami says, when he chants the name, it is so sweet he desires so many tongues. And when the name enters in his ears, he desires millions of years to drink it more and more and more. But in the conditioned stage, when we're chanting, we regret that we have one tongue. We want to use it for some other purpose. And when the name is entering in our ears, our mind is thinking, I want to hear something else. I want to see something else. I want to taste something else. So at the beginning stages of chanting, Krishna is not revealing the true nectar because of all of our impurities of heart. Therefore, we must chant according to the regulative principles of the discipline given by the great acharyas. We chant at least 16 rounds every day. We gradually come to that platform. We follow the regulative principles strictly. We read books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam with the commentaries of the great acharyas. We render menial service. We learn how to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the great souls. Through this process, gradually, the name begins to cleanse our consciousness. And as it is cleansed, it begins to reveal its powers. Gradually, through developing a proper mood of service, our chanting becomes offenseless, without the 10 offenses. Then our consciousness is clear. Through chanting offenselessly, gradually, ecstatic love begins to awaken. We develop spontaneous desires where we love to chant the holy names. We love to serve the devotees. We love to come to see the deities. And gradually, by chanting on that platform, bhava and then prema awakens. Through the name of the Lord alone, everything is revealed to us if we simply learn to chant according to the guidelines of the great souls like Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna, has taught us this principle. In Ram Leela, Hanuman vowed, as long as anyone is chanting Ram's name, I will remain in this world and I will protect them. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishnavatar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Krishna is in his name. Simply chant Harinam under his guidance, and all the glories, the pastimes, and the wonderful ecstatic sentiments of spiritual love will awaken within our heart. Wherever we gather together to sincerely chant the holy names, that place is Vrindavan. So tonight, we will experience Vrindavan Dham. Radha Gopinath has appeared by Srila Prabhupada's great mercy in the city of Bombay to transform this city into Vrindavan. And all fortunate souls who come here to glorify them, to see their beauty, to chant their names, will be transported to Sri Vrindavan Dham. To go to Vrindavan is a very nice thing to do, but actually, we are in Vrindavan. That was Srila Prabhupada's greatness. So on this night, the devotees, so many devotees, the brahmacharis, the congregational devotees, have worked very hard to arrange a beautiful, beautiful darshan for Radha Gopinath and all the devotees. And it is the Basant Ras Purnima darshan, which is only to be held one night a year. So we are very fortunate and blessed to be tonight. I thank you very much. Let us celebrate by chanting very carefully, with great enthusiasm, for the pleasure of the Lord and all of the devotees.